Jesus is the good news. He always brings good news. If you have your Bibles, kindly turn with me to Psalm 119, verse 65 to verse 72. Psalm 119, 65 to 72. The Word of God tells us, "You have dealt well with your servant, O Lord, according to your word. Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I believe your commandments. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep your word. You are good and do good. Teach me your statutes. The proud have forged a lie against me, but I will keep your precepts with my whole heart. Their heart is as fat as grease, but I delight in your law. Verse 70, it is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I may learn your statutes. The law of your mouth is better to me than thousands of coins of gold and silver." Father, I pray that, Lord, you just anoint your word and you speak to each and every one of us, oh God. We know that you are in the midst. Let us feel you in this midst, oh God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalms 119 is the longest chapter in the Bible, and it is an acrostic. If you will notice, above each section of 8 verses, there is a Hebrew letter listed. In the Hebrew Bible, each of the 8 verses of each section begin with that same Hebrew letter. So in verses 65 to verse 72 are the Teth, T-E-T-H, section of Psalms 119. So each of the 8 verses in this section begin with the Hebrew letter Teth, like the letter T. But another significant fact to note is that almost every verse in this section begins not only with the same Hebrew letter Teth, but also with the same Hebrew word Tob, T-O-B, which means good. For example, in verse 65, in English it reads, "You have dealt well with your servant." But in Hebrew, the verse begins with the word good or tob. Good, you have dealt with your servant. Verse 66, good, discernment, teach me. Verse 68, in Hebrew is literally, good, you are and do. Verse 71 is literally, good for me that I was afflicted. And verse 72 reads, good to me the law of your mouth. So we see in this incredible, we see here the incredible emphasis on the word good in these verses. Good, you have dealt with your servant. Good, discernment, teach me. Good, you are and do. Good for me that I was afflicted. Good to me the law of your mouth. This is important for several reasons. First of all, in Hebrew, they often place a word first in a sentence to emphasize it. So when we see that 5 out of 8 times in this section, the word good opens the sentence, it's really emphasizing this word good. And secondly, in Hebrew, repetition is also used for emphasis. When they want to emphasize one thing, they repeat it twice. They say it twice. If the Bible says something one time, it is true. If they want to emphasize something, they may say it twice. If they want to emphasize, they say it twice. If they want to say something is ultimate, they will say it 3 times. Like holy, holy, holy of Isaiah 6, which means that God is ultimately holy. So how strong of a statement is this? Then when 5 times here in Psalms 119, it opens with those words, good, 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 good. This is an incredibly strong emphasis on the good that comes in the times of affliction that he mentioned in verse 67 and 71. Today, I would like to title my sharing, In the Midst. Just like our theme today, In the Midst. And I want to talk on the good God. Secondly, goodness in the midst of affliction, and thirdly, the afflicted one in the midst. So let's talk about the good God first. We see this specially spelled out in verse 68, where it says, you are good and do good. Again, in Hebrew, that is literally, good you are and do. As we saw, the emphasis is on that first word, good. It is saying God is good. It is emphasizing His goodness even in that difficult time. Psalm 100 verse 5 says, for the Lord is good. This is a basic truth about God which we need to make sure that we don't take for granted and that we always remember, especially in our times of trial, God is good. In times of your trial and affliction, God is good. Sometimes when we come into hard times, it is easy for us to think that God is like one of those mischievous mythical gods of ancient Greece and Rome who just enjoyed toying with people and bringing them into times of trouble for their entertainment. You see the gladiators? When they all bring the fighters in the midst and people around them in the Colosseum betting, shouting for their bets. But the Bible says no. God is not only all-powerful and all-knowing and all-present. But part of His basic essential nature is that He is also good. God is not just powerful and all-knowing. God is also good. Our enemy often likes to hit us at this point when we come into difficult times. He wants us to doubt and question God's goodness. That is why right here in the middle of this death section of Psalms 119, we find this basic truth. You are good and do good. So no matter what it may seem like in our trials, we have to hold on to our faith in the goodness of God. Second point I want to talk to you this morning is goodness in the midst of affliction. One of the few verses in this section that does not begin with the Hebrew word tob or good is verse 67. But although it does not actually contain the word good, it does speak of the good purpose of God in our trials. It says, before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep your word. Isn't this true to many of us? Before we know the word of God, or before we hold the word of God in our hearts, we were astray. We were afflicted. He says, even in this affliction which we are going through, God is doing something good. He has worked some good purposes in your life. This verse does remind us that God does bring good things out of our sufferings. Not only is He good, but He also does good things through our times of affliction. Affliction means that which causes pain and suffering through physical infirmity and or mental distress. We saw in our presentation, the three women were in affliction. They went through physical infirmity and even mental distress. Individuals, tagsa-tagsa sa aton, and even nations can be afflicted. Like our country, we are afflicted right now. And that affliction is often attributed to the Lord and His punishment. So nations can experience affliction for many reasons. Our country is experiencing this right now. Why? Because number one, God often afflicted whole nations for their disobedience and wickedness. Just like what He did in Egypt when He sent all the plagues in Egypt because of disobedience and wickedness. Another reason God brought affliction upon the nations was to purge the earth of the contamination of their wickedness. And third reason was to teach Israel the grave necessity of following the Lord. When our nation is afflicted, is in affliction, God is actually telling our country, our nation, the necessity that it is necessary to follow God. Individuals like you and me can be afflicted for a number of reasons. First reason is that affliction can be a direct consequence of sin. The Bible tells us, "For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption." Galatians 6:8. Affliction number two can be a judgment from God. According to their uncleanness, the Bible says, and according to their transgressions, I have dealt with them and hidden my face from them. Ezekiel 39:24. Thirdly, why individuals are afflicted or an individual is afflicted is because affliction is part of living in a fallen world. We are all living in a fallen world. John 16:33 tells us, in the world you will have tribulation. And fourthly, affliction can be the result of a direct attack from Satan. Satan is attacking you. 1 Peter 5:8 tells us, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And fifthly, affliction can occur for God's divine purpose. God has a purpose for your affliction. Remember Job. He went to God and asked God for permission to afflict Job. And God permitted him because God had a purpose. Job 2:7 tells us, so Satan went out from the presence of the Lord and struck Job with painful boils from the sole of his foot to the crown of his head. But God has a purpose beyond that affliction. And when we read the Bible, we have people who have been afflicted. And these three examples that I have now are those also portrayed on our stage. First example from the Bible is the woman with an alabaster box. Yun an alabaster box. Perfume. Matthew chapter 26 verse 6 to 13 tells us, while Jesus was in Bethany in the home of Simon the leper, a woman came to him with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume, which she poured on his head as he was reclining at the table. He poured on Jesus' head. When the disciples saw this, they were indignant. Why this waste? They asked. This perfume could have been sold at a high price and the money given to the poor. Aware of this, Jesus said to them, why are you bothering this woman? She has done a beautiful thing to me. The poor you will always have with you, but you will not always have me. That alabaster represents the sin, the life of that woman. But that woman on that day, in the midst of her affliction, she received forgiveness. Right at the very moment, she was cleansed from the stain of sin and received praise and commendation from Jesus. Because Jesus said at that moment, when she poured this perfume on my body, she did it to prepare for me. Truly I tell you, wherever this gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her. There are just four considered gospel in the whole book of Bible. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The Bible tells us, you search in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the story of this woman is found. This is the only story repeated four times in the four gospels. Because Jesus said, her story will be told. The second woman is the widow of Nain, also portrayed by Kirby, if I'm not wrong. Luke 7:11 to 15 tells us, Soon afterwards, Jesus went to a town named Nain, accompanied by his disciples and a large crowd. And when he arrived at the gate of the town, a funeral procession was coming out. A young man had died, the only son of his mother, and she, the mother, was a widow. And a large crowd from the town was with her. And when the Lord saw her, his heart was filled with pity for her, and he said to her, "Do not weep." Then he walked over and touched the casket, while the pallbearers stood still. Jesus said to the dead man, "Young man, I say to thee, arise." And he who was dead sat up and began to talk, and Jesus gave him back to his mother. That widow was in the midst of her deepest grief over the loss of her only son. She already grieved over the death of her husband, and now her only son died. She was at the deepest grief of her life. But before the grave could swallow the boy, Jesus was in the midst, and he raised the boy to life. Third example is the woman with an issue of blood. Matthew 5:25-29, the story is there. And a woman was there who had been subjected to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had. Yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, because she thought, "If I just touch his clothes, I will be healed." Immediately, her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. You know, because of the continual bleeding, the woman would have been continually regarded in Jewish law as a nidah, or a menstruating woman, and so ceremonially unclean. In order to be regarded as clean, the flow of blood would need to stop for at least 7 days. During the time, kung sigi-sigi ka dugo, para tawag sa imo higko, para makonsider ka nga matinlo, dapat mag-ayo ka sa sulo, nga may pito ka nakaadlaw nga nag-ayo. Because of the constant bleeding, this woman lived in a continual state of uncleanness, which would have brought upon her social and religious isolation. It would have prevented her from getting married. Or, if she was already married when the bleeding started, would have prevented her from having sexual relations with her husband, and might have been cited by him as grounds for divorce. Pwede siya i-divorce kung baybana siya. So all these women, they experienced the touch of Jesus because Jesus was in the midst. All these women were in the midst of their affliction, and God came in their midst. We may be in the midst of our deepest sorrow and pain, but when God is in the midst, we will experience forgiveness, cleansing, praise, life, and healing. All affliction is ultimately traceable to our tragic fall in Adam and has become part of living in this world. Why are we afflicted? Because of the fall of Adam. The fall of our first parents. Now we are fallen. And we know the grievousness of it. We will suffer heartaches, injuries, disappointments, lack, rejection, sickness, and death of our dear ones. But we must remember Paul's encouragement in 2 Corinthians 4:16-17. "Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all." Paul is telling us that in the midst of affliction, do not lose heart. If you are afflicted, if you are suffering today, whether physically or mentally or whatever area, do not lose heart. But your question today may be, how is it possible to not lose heart in the midst of affliction. Kung nabudlayan ako, when I am struggling, when I am suffering, paano ako hindi madulaan sang kaisog? I will lead you to my third point, the afflicted one in the midst. All those three women in our story were in affliction. But when the afflicted one was in the midst of them, they received healing, forgiveness, and help. Isaiah chapter 53, 4 and 5 was written years, many years before Jesus was born. And Isaiah 53, 4 to 5 tells us about Jesus, the afflicted one. It says here, surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering. Yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. The first thing that we need to consider today is the afflictions of Jesus. Think much on these things. If Jesus suffered so much on behalf of his people, shouldn't we be able to endure in his strength the daily afflictions we must bear? What are our afflictions compared to his afflictions? Besides, was he not the sufferer par excellence while wholly innocent? And are we not at best a sufferer in his footsteps while wholly guilty? Moreover, is there one affliction that we must endure that he has not already endured? Is he not the breaker to go before his flock, both in opening all our paths and in being tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin? All paths, all points. Jesus not only knows our affliction, brothers and sisters, he has identified himself with our affliction. He has borne our affliction and he will sanctify it. 1 Corinthians 10:13 tells us, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to men. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with that temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. So consider the afflictions of Christ. Jesus was afflicted for you and me. Secondly, consider the power of Christ. Being infinite God-man, Jesus received power on earth to bear infinite sufferings on your behalf. And through the merit of these sufferings, he now receives royal power in heaven from his Father to rule and strengthen you in your sufferings. Translated practically relative to affliction, his heaven-earth power reads like this. If he desires to weigh you down with affliction, yes, heavy, seemingly staggering affliction, do not be alarmed, but look to him for strength. This is actually saying, when you are struggling, when you are facing affliction, look to him. Look to God for strength. Third thing we need to consider the presence of Christ. He is at no time absent from you. Even when your faith lacks active exercise to grasp him, even in your thickest hours of Egyptian darkness, Jesus is close beside you. How comforting is this? In all your dark afflictions, your high priest retains you in his high priestly eye, preserves you in his high priestly heart, bears you on his high priestly shoulders, removes you not from the engravings on his highly priestly hands, and he never ceases to remember you in his highly priestly, in his high priestly intercessions. Hebrews tells us he ever liveth to make intercession for them. What tender love. You are never forgotten by Jesus Christ. Despite your negligence toward him, he ever remains a friend that sticks closer than a brother. He is your friend. Even when you cannot see or feel it, He is your friend. He is in the midst. Even then, He is whispering to you in the midnight session when you are going through suffering. He tells you, what I am doing to you now, you don't understand. But you will understand it later. Maybe today, you are suffering. You don't understand why. But Jesus is telling you, you may not understand now, but you will understand it later. Fourthly, consider the end of Christ. Highly exalted, there is no name like His name. At His name, every knee shall bow. The end of all His affliction was eternal glory. And eternal glory, that eternal glory was not only for Himself, but also for you who have been afflicted. He returned to His Father differently than He came. He returned with His blood-bought bride. His church, figuratively speaking, ascended into glory with Him, accepted by the Father in the Beloved. So think more of your eternal end if you would be more submissive and under affliction and learn to praise God in trial. Brothers and sisters, your trials and afflictions in this life are for 10 days. Your life to come glory is forever. The 10 days here are preparation time for glory to come. Affliction elevates your soul to heaven. It paves your way for glory. 2 Corinthians 4:17 tells us, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. In conclusion, in the face of trials and afflictions, Jesus does not turn His face away. Psalm 121 tells us, indeed, He who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. When you are gripped with fear, you are still in the palm of His hands. John 10:28 tells us, I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. When you are experiencing loss, you have all things in Christ. Romans 11:36 tells us, for from Him all and through Him and for Him are all things. To Him be the glory forever. Amen. When you are in the midst of trial and doubt creeps in and joy is fleeting, which we all experience at times, look back at God's faithfulness through the years and even generations. Looking back at His faithfulness grants peace in the present and fixes hope for the future. It is firm ground on which you stand with joy, even when the waters are raging around. As we look back, we need to look no further than the cross of our Savior. The cross clearly shows us that God is for us and can turn the worst of afflictions for good. There is a testimony as I close. Maybe you can identify with this testimony. This is a true story. You know that sang nag-start ang aton nga harvest month last August 7. But before that, sang Friday we visited someone sa just around sa barangay. Because Pastor Carlin told me nga there is this one lady who has a good testimony. What happened was this. This elderly woman, okay? He may crutches na siya gakiang-kiang. But nadakpan siya nga nagapataya sa STL. Kay illegal gindakop siya. Pero ang problem was, nadakop siya 3 times na. And because she was caught 3 times, ginkasuhan siya, kag-isintensyahan sang about 3 to 6 years sa sulod sang prisuhan. 3 to 6 years sa sulod sang prisuhan. And you know, maybe damo sa aton, mamangkot nga may edad na siya, nagasungkod-sungkod pa siya, nga nagpataya pa sa STL.
That is because sa mga afflictions nga nagakatabo sa aton, sa mga sufferings nga nagakatabo sa aton. Wala kita sang kwarta, pirmi may nagamasakit, ano obrahon mo? Wala, mangita kagid kwarta, tibisan pa illegal, isudlon mo, pareho sang ginobras ang sining nga babayi. So sang ginpakadto siya, ipakadtoon siya, sang last week ginpakadto siya. But sang August 4, ari diri siya sa church because she was invited. And sang August 4, she received, so August 7, she received Jesus sa sinang day. And while ara siya sa altar, nag-pray siya. She really pleaded with Jesus, ng nagsiling, Lord, ang akong sentensya, lawig, please, buligi ko. Buligi ko. Paano ko na ma-survive? Paano ko na mabuhi? Dara, buligi ko. But I want to tell you nga, in times, kangay sina, you just don't feel, but Jesus is present. Jesus is there. So, sa August 7, she came and prayed. Ang sentensya niya, 3 to 6 years. And you know what happens sa August 12? Ginbasahan sa sentensya. Ang sentensya sa iya, isa na lang kabulan. Pagkakita sa iya sang fiscal or judge, sinis ang judge, paano mo ni prisuhon? At her situation, paano mo ni prisuhon? So, gintawag sang fiscal kag judge ng iyang abogado. Sinis ang abogado niya sa iya, please wait. Please wait. Ginistorya sa abogado ang judge or fiscal. After that, ang abogado nagbalik. Siling niya, ma'am, mabalik ka di sa, I think, sa 26. Pero, prepare ka lang, siguro mga 2,000 or 2,500 kay base hindi ka na pagprisuhon. Of course, we know nga, nag-commit siya sang wrong. Right? And because of that, may affliction siya. But in the midst of Jesus, ang atong affliction will be turned into glory. Amen? So today, maybe, ara ka sa time of trial sa imong life, like this woman. And like most of us, nga inubra naton, ga pangayo kita nga, Lord, please get me out of here. Please get me out of here. Get me out of this affliction. Or maybe it's not you. Maybe somebody you love who is going through something difficult right now. You're praying for him or for her, Lord. Get him out of there. Maybe this morning, you can pray like that woman. Lord, help me. Lord, help me. Because Jesus is in the midst. Jesus is in the midst. Or maybe today, you need to truly give your life to Jesus. Right now, if you want to receive Him into your life, Jesus is just in the midst of us here, waiting. The Bible tells us, behold, I stand at the door and knock. The door of your heart and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens that door, I will come into him and will eat with him and he will eat with me. Today, Jesus is in the midst. He did not just prove it sa mga characters sa Bible. He just proven it last week. And he will continue to prove it because Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Shall we all stand at this moment? I was so blessed and encouraged sa testimony sa sininga lady. Pagkabati ko kay Pastor Carlene. That's why we visited her last week to ask her permission nga kung pwede na kung i-share ang iyang istorya. Because may mga sensitive like nagpataya sa STL. It was wrong. It was wrong. And we hope and pray nga madula na gitang sentensya sa iya. Kasi sa Bible, he who began a good work in you shall complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. And today, do you want good news sa imong life? Just let Jesus, just allow Jesus to be in your midst. Today, are you suffering? You want deliverance? Today is the time. But before that, I just want to tell you that if you want to be relieved from all those afflictions nga ginasuffer mo,
You need the power of Jesus to come to your life. You need the power of Jesus to be in your midst. Do you want that power in your life? If you want that power sa imong life, you must receive Jesus into your heart. Because when you receive Jesus into your heart, you are receiving His death and His resurrection. You are receiving His glory. You are receiving His forgiveness. So today, if you have not, kung wala mo pa nabaton si Jesus sa imong life, pero gusto mo nga batunon ang iyang kamatayon kag ang iyang pagkabanhaw para sa imo, because you are afflicted, you are suffering today, I invite you. Come. Right? Do you want to receive Jesus today? Just raise your hand. Yes. God bless you, brother. Who else? God sees those hands. Yes. Yes. Mayara pa. All right. Now, my second request, because we want to pray for you. We really want to pray for you. That lady nga nag-testimony, we prayed for her. And God did something wonderful sa iyong life. So first, if you want to receive Jesus sa iyong life, please come. Those nga nag-raise sa iyong hand, please come and stay there at this side. Please join. Please come, hindi ka mahuya. Hindi ka mahuya. Do you want to receive Jesus into your life? Jesus is in the midst. Jesus was afflicted for you. And He understands, naintindihan niya ang imong afflictions today, ang imong suffering today. He understands kag ginagyan niya ina. Kag sa cross, ginagyan niya ang pinakasakit na suffering para sa imo. Kag sa akon, ginhuy mo niya na tanan para sa imo kag sa akon. Yeah, maybe diri sa sininga side. Diri naton sila dalon on this side. Yes, yes. Diri sila nga side. Those who just receive, those who want to receive Jesus, diri nga portion lang kita. Yes. Yes. And later on, ma-pray man kita sa nagamasakit. So all these nga rito sa front subong are those nga nag-indicate that they want to receive Jesus into their lives. Gusto ko pa ibalo sa inyo nga, there are so many things na mudamo sa butang nga maubra sa imo sang Ginoo. Just like this lady. Ginbato niya si Jesus and a miracle happened. Ang miracle matabo lang sa imo. Kung ang miracle worker ara sa life mo. Ang miracle worker is Jesus. Yun pamatudaan niya na ina. So when you have kunara sa imo ang miracle worker, you will experience miracles sa imo nga kabuhi. Is there any more who wants, you want to receive Jesus into your life? Yes. And I want you to pray subong. Okay? Ma-pray kita. Because Jesus is here. Jesus is in the midst. Ma-pray kita. Sa akon, pag-pray suliton lang ninyo. Ma-pray ako sa Ilonggo, hambalo ninyo. Sang mabatian. Okay? Ma-pray kita. Let's pray. Langit nun nga amay. Madamo gid nga salamat. Nga ara ikaw. Perme sa akong tupad. Hindi ko lang mabatyagan, pero mabalaan ko na palangga mo ako. Kay imo gin padala ang imo bugtong anak nga si Jesu Kristo nga mapatay sa krus para sa akon mga sala. Ako ang dapat silutan kay ako ang nakasala. Apang salamat, Jesus, nga ikaw nagtubos sa akon, patawara ako sa akon nga mga sala. Tinluoy ako sa tanan ko nga kahigko. Baguha ang akon huna-huna, kagang akon tagipusoon. Ginabaton ko ikaw, Jesus, nga akon manluluwas kag Ginoo. Magpuyo ka sa akon tagipusoon. Ikaw ang magahimo sang milagro sa akon kabuhi. Kay ako, anak sang Dios. Salamat sa pagpatawad mo sa akon. Sa ngalan ni Jesus. Amen. Amen. No, thank you. Pwede kita maka-katumibi diri sa side. Okay? So that nga, gusto lang namon nga makilala ka mo, hatagan ka mo namon sang Bible, para nga, gamay nga Bible, para may madala ka mo pa uli, nga mabasa ninyo. Sa inyo pagpauli, sa inyo balay now. Gusto ko naman mag-call for those of you nga you are going through afflictions in your life or suffering sa inyong life. Gusto nyo maka-experience
maybe a different lain naman nga klase sang experience alin sa Ginoo. God wants you to experience that. Hindi ang Jesus does not want nga maging useless ang iyang death sa cross. He wants it nga mag-perform, maghimo sang miracle sa inyong mga kabuhi. So this morning, hindi ako ang healer. I am not the healer. I am not a healer at all. But Jesus is a healer. When Jesus is in your heart, you have a miracle worker. So if you are sick sa sining aga, please come. We will pray for you. Okay? If you're sick, you're not feeling well, o hindi lang, not only you are sick, but maybe you are going through some affliction, some problems sa imong life. Hindi natubang ka nga problem, you want to be prayed for. Yes, yes, please come. Please come. Yes. Yes, and those nga aridiri nga nag-receive sa kay Jesus, you have received Jesus, but you have a need sa imong life. May ara ka nga gusto prehan. You can remain diri. You can remain diri. You can just come diri. Kadulang ka diri sa atubang. Okay? Yes, we will pray for you. And the rest of us, if wala magikita sang need nga prayer, you can just take a seat and just help us to pray. Just help us to pray there sa inyong seats. But if you have a need sa sininga aga, please come. We will pray for you. Hindi ka makahuya. Jesus is here. The presence of Jesus is here. And I just want to ask for the help sang mga ministry workers to just lay your hands on them. Ministry workers, just lay your hands on our brothers and sisters here who are sick or they need something sa ilang life. Yes, God. Thank you, Lord. Yes. Lord God, this morning, we just want to thank you for your goodness. God, nothing is impossible with you. When we have the miracle worker in our hearts, we will experience miracles upon miracles. So right now, whatever ang need sa mga utod ko nga ari diri sa atubang, meet their needs, O God. Meet their needs, God. If they need healing, heal them, Lord. Heal them in the name of Jesus. Lord, kung ara sila sa financial problem, I pray that you will provide, Lord God. Rescue them. Help them, O God. Help them. Kung may ara sila, Lord, ng mga problem sa ilang relationships, I pray that you will bring healing sa ilang relationships. Restore, reconcile, O God. Kung may ara sila problema sa ilang mind, nga wala sila sang peace, pirmi sila, they are always troubled, I pray for your peace to rest on their hearts and minds right now. Lord, heal them. Heal them. Heal them. You died on the cross. You died on the cross, Lord. And you rose from the dead. And there is power right now. Right now, nga mag-perform sang miracles sa ilang life. God, touch them right now. Touch them right now. And those na may mga fears, I command those fears to leave in Jesus' name. Let the peace of Jesus stay in your hearts and minds right now. Oh Jesus, you have bought us. You have bought us with your blood. And you have covered us with your blood. Cover these brethren, oh God, right now with the precious blood of Jesus. And thank you for your healing. Thank you for your answers, oh God. Thank you, Lord. And Father, right now, we just want to pray for the congregation. I pray that they will always believe that you are in the midst of them. Despite their afflictions and sufferings, Jesus, you are in the midst of us. And Lord, even as we depart from this place, God, help us to feel your presence. And protect us, Lord, as we go home. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Let's give the Lord a clap offering.